So when Jesus is moved by compassion, and let's look back at this verse, it isn't just a casual feeling of being sorry for the people. He's not just thinking, oh, that's just too bad for them, or it's so sad what state they're in. Jesus was so moved by compassion that he actually felt it physically in his inmost being. And I'd like to ask you this morning, what do you guys think? What about you? What do you feel when you guys see people that are entrapped by sin? I'm sure you guys have noticed the increase of homeless people on the intersections, especially at this intersection and other ones around the city. But what do you guys feel when you see that? Are you disgusted or are you moved with compassion? What happens in your mind when you see people suffering from the immorality in this world? I mean, when you see a woman who's pregnant out of wedlock or a young man who has STDs, are you repulsed? Are you revolted because of their sinful actions, or are you moved with compassion because they're so lost? And when Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion, and so should we. Now, why did he have such a strong feeling? It was because of the condition of the crowds. They were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Who here has seen a real live sheep before? Maybe at a farm or a petting zoo? Who here has seen a flock of sheep? A lot of sheep. All right. Well, Robin and I saw a lot of sheep when we lived in England, and one year we took a road trip to Scotland. We went through Scotland. We went through Loch Ness, looking for the Loch Ness Monster with a bunch of crazy Bible students, and here's proof that we saw Nessie. It's a blurry photo, but as we were driving through the country roads, there would be flocks of sheep crossing the road, and it looked a lot like this, where you see the sheep coming towards the car. You know, in that picture, you think they'd be moving away from the danger, but they're going towards this dangerous car driving down the road. They're just wandering aimlessly. And you may already know this, but without a shepherd, that's what sheep do. They just wander aimlessly. They don't know where they're going. There's no direction. And they're generally paying little attention to what's around them. And those things around them could even be dangerous. They're just lost. And that's what Jesus sees. He sees the spiritual state of the people. He sees them as lost and without direction. They lacked spiritual guidance because the religious leaders of their time, you know, the Pharisees and the Levites and the priests, they were supposed to be helping the people and shepherding them, but they're doing a terrible job, and they're actually harming the people. That was what was leaving them helpless and harassed. And this is the spiritual state of college students that Robin and I work with. They're lost and without direction. They're lacking spiritual guidance. And those who are supposed to be giving the college students direction, like the staff and the faculty, they're actually creating more harm than good. I heard a story from a friend of mine who's on staff at a college that we're working with. He says that the staff are supplying minors with alcohol at the parties on campus and without a liquor license. So obviously that's horrible. And he said if any police came on the campus, that those other staff would be arrested and put into jail. So that's the kind of crazy stuff that we hear about going on the college campuses where we serve. Another thing is that today, the president of the colleges and the staff, not just here, but all over the country, they're doing away with gender altogether. Whereas before we used to have guys' dorms and girls' dorms, no longer. They're mixing them all up together in the same dorms, in the same halls, even in the same rooms, where you could be a guy and be given a girl roommate or a girl given a guy roommate. And there's just all kinds of confusion. Even the guys and girls are sharing the hall bathrooms and the hall showers. And it's just very different from when we went to college. Now, regarding the mental health of today's students, today's college students are more stressed out and overwhelmed than ever before. Depression, anxiety disorders, suicidal thoughts, they are on the rise among college students today. And many of these students that we're meeting with, they're on antidepressants, even at a young age. With colleges today being the center of atheistic thought and where sin is celebrated, this is only going to get worse. And we heard a sobering statistic that of all the suicides committed in college, 95% of them were related to anxiety and depression disorders. So these college students today, they are helpless and harassed, just like the crowds that Jesus saw. I already mentioned that there aren't any organizational college ministries on these campuses. There's no one reaching the students in our community. So these students are literally like sheep without a shepherd. And even if these students were active in church and the youth group growing up, when they go to college, they're no longer under their parents' authority. So then they have a choice. Do I want to go to college or not? And many of them choose otherwise. So as you all know, one of the biggest problems in our churches today is losing our youth. And this especially happens when they go to college. And so I've got some statistics for college students and faith. 90% of students walk away from the church by their second year of college. 46% of students describe themselves as non-religious, and they're called the nuns. 70% of students will completely abandon the faith by the time of graduation, and they're called the duns. So the number of nuns and duns is growing in our community and in our country, and it's sad that these students are completely lost. They're like the crowds that Jesus saw. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And so when we see the nuns and the duns, how should we feel? We should have compassion, just like Jesus did. Jesus had compassion on the lost in his day, and it motivated him to get involved. So we saw Jesus' work, we saw his compassion. Now we're going to look at Jesus' call. And Jesus has a call for his disciples. He wants them to see something special and significant about these crowds. He tells them in verse 37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." So the imagery changes here from sheep and shepherds to harvests and laborers. And Jesus is saying to disciples, he's saying, I look out of these crowds, and not only do I see sheep without a shepherd, but I see a harvest that is ready to be brought in, a harvest that is ripe. So how does Jesus see a crowd that is so lost as a crowd that is ripe for the harvest? Well, he sees that they're so lost, they're so harassed and helpless, that they're ready for some good news. Everything is going so bad for them that they're ready for the good news of the kingdom of God. They're so directionless and purposeless that they're waiting for someone like a shepherd to guide them. They're already wandering like sheep, and they need someone to show them the way. And that's what Jesus sees. He invites his disciples to see what he sees. And he sees a harvest ready to be brought in, but there's a problem. And the problem is this: the laborers are few. Harvesting, as you know, it's not glamorous, it's not exciting, it is not easy. If you see someone working in a field, they're usually covered in sweat. It is hard work. It is not easy. So there's a reason why the laborers are few. It takes a great deal of effort to reach lost souls. So what does Jesus tell his disciples to do about this harvest? You'd think he'd say, you know, go into the harvest field and start laboring. But he doesn't say that. What does he say to do? Let's look in this next verse. He says, therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. So he tells them to pray. He tells them to pray earnestly. And this is the only prayer request that Jesus gives the disciples in the entire Bible. So if Jesus, the Son of God, has a prayer request, it's probably important, right? You should probably listen to him. He's calling his disciples to not just see the need, but to actually get involved through prayer, by praying for more laborers in the harvest field. And that's what Robin and I did when we saw the harvest field of the college students. We prayed. We said, Lord, please send more laborers into the harvest field. We see they're like sheep without a shepherd. And little did we know that God would use us to answer our own prayer. And it's interesting because that's what happens with Jesus' disciples in chapter 10, verse 1. Look at this. It says, and he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. So Jesus called his disciples to get involved with the harvest, first by praying, and then eventually by action. And he sees that the disciples become the answer to their own prayers. They start demonstrating the works of the kingdom of God that Jesus was doing earlier. And they see the people around them as needing help. They're helping shepherd the sheep that are lost. And so here's a summary of what we just studied. When we see the world as Jesus sees the world, when we see our neighbors as hopeless ones, as, you know, the marginalized, especially those who are harassed and helpless, we should be moved with compassion, like a gut-level compassion that we feel, that drives us to earnest prayer, that drives us later to action. And so you guys may have heard of WWJD, you know, those bracelets that say, what would Jesus do, WWJD? Well, I thought this would be a good question. WWJS, what would Jesus see? And our prayer should be, teach us to see others how you see them, and move us with compassion to get involved through prayer and later through action. And then after asking how, you know, what does Jesus see, we should ask, where are the harvest fields today? Where are the harvest fields today that are ready for the harvest? Where are the ones that are both globally and locally where the people are so lost and desperate like sheep without a shepherd? How can we get involved in that harvest field? And I'm here to tell you today that locally, the college campuses in our community are ready for the harvest. The colleges in our community are ready for the harvest, but the workers are few and the work is hard. But as I told you guys earlier in the quiz, there is a way that the people of Northminster Presbyterian can get involved to bring in the harvest. First, you can pray. And that's what this passage is all about. Let's look at this next slide. We can see the ways that you guys can help with the harvest. You can pray, you can give, and you can serve. So you guys may not be missionaries to the college campuses, but you guys can actually do a work on the college campuses by prayer. And I remember my grandfather, he had Parkinson's disease, and he was suffering, and he had to be in bed all the time. And he thought, you know, his mind was sharp, but he was thinking, I can't do much of anything. I can't do much ministry at all. And I said, you know what you can do? You can pray. You can pray for missionaries all over the world. You can pray for us as we serve. And his eyes got real big, and he snapped his fingers and said, you know what? That's right. I can have this ministry of prayer. It doesn't matter who you are or where you are, you can have a ministry of prayer. So pray for more laborers in the harvest field, and pray for us, as we're the only ones laboring in all the college campuses at the moment. Pray for the college students. Pray that they would no longer be like the lost sheep, that they would no longer stay harassed and helpless, but pray instead that they would find abundant life in Christ. Pray that they would find their God-given purpose. Pray that they would know Jesus as the good shepherd and Lord of their lives. The enemy wants to brainwash our youth. He wants to brainwash our youth. He wants to brainwash the younger generations. And this includes your children and your grandchildren. And we need to pray for them. He wants to brainwash them with the false beliefs of the world system. And these false beliefs are intensely taught in the educational system, especially in the colleges. As we fight these spiritual battles for the souls of our youth, we need all the prayer that we can get. We need your prayers. And as you walked in here this morning, my youngest daughter and my son may have handed you a card with a picture of our family on it. That is a prayer card. And so if you could put that card in your Bible or on your refrigerator and pray for us daily, that'd be a huge blessing to us. So first, you can pray. Secondly, you can give. And you can partner with us financially so that we're able to reach the college students in our community. We don't get paid a regular salary like a pastor or staff. We raise our own support, and so we're raising our support this summer. This summer, we're doing a summer support sprint, and you can see that on the graphic here. We're trying to raise an additional $1,900 a month that will help us be fully supported to get back on campus, and we can't do what we're doing without partners getting behind us and giving regularly to the ministry. If we can get 19 people between now and August to give just $100 a month, we'd be able to be fully supported, and we'd reach our goal for this summer. So if the Lord leads you to give any amount, we'd be hugely blessed and truly grateful. It would help us start the next semester strong. We want to be able to stay on the campus. We want to grow the ministry and reach these crowds of students that are needing to hear the gospel. Another way you can help out by giving is by donating store and restaurant gift cards. It's true what they say about college students. They say, if you feed them, they will come. So we like to have food at our events. And so when we are going to start the next semester with a bunch of outreach events, we need to have a lot of food. And so if you guys have like Publix gift cards or Target gift cards or Pizza Hut gift cards, anything you might have would be a blessing. If you could donate those to our ministry, we can have food at those events. We can reach more new students as they come in and get them involved in our community and our Bible studies. And then lastly, we could have you guys serve on the campus with us. So with all these events we're planning, all the outreaches we have, there will likely be opportunities for you guys to serve, from packing college survival kits. We're going to make college survival kits with Bibles, with things for new students when they get onto campus. That'd be a huge blessing if we could pack those. Serving food at one of our events, that could also be a way we could bless others. So whatever we're doing, we'd love to have you get involved. We have a sign-up sheet at a table in the lobby area where you can sign up, give us your information. We can email you what we're doing and how you guys can be involved, and that'd be a huge blessing. The truth is, we can't just sit by and watch our generations continue in their wandering like sheep without a shepherd. We can't let the next generations continue to leave the church. Instead, we need to have compassion, and a compassion that compels us to get involved. And I'd like to leave with this last quote. There's a famous Christian leader named Bill Bright, and he said this: if we will win the college campus for Christ today, we will win the world for Christ tomorrow. Not only are the college campuses a plentiful harvest field, but they're also a strategic harvest field. They're strategic in reaching the world for Christ and fulfilling the Great Commission. And so I'd like for us to pray right now, pray for these students and pray for this church that we could be involved in this work. Lord, we thank you for this message this morning, Lord. We pray that you'd help us to see people as you see them. Lord, that we would have compassion that would move us to earnest prayer, that would move us to action, Lord. We pray right now that the Lord of the harvest would send more workers to the needy harvest fields of this world. Lord, we pray that you would send more workers into the harvest fields of this community. Specifically, we pray for the harvest fields on the college campuses, Lord, here in Sarasota and Bradenton. And we pray for revival among the college students, Lord. We pray that they would turn from the things of this world that leave them harassed and helpless, Lord, that they would turn to you, the Good Shepherd, that they would experience your love and your forgiveness, Lord. We pray that you would use each one of us here this morning, Lord, to do our part in bringing the good news of the kingdom of God to our community and to our world through prayer and through action. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I have a soft spot in my heart for college ministry. When I